we're getting ready to leave now, and we're getting ready to go back to life. What have you learned about shame? Do you have a better understanding of how it influences your life? I was going to, in my notes, have a place where I could summarize what each of the teachers have taught about, and I can't do it. I was going back through my notes. There's so much. I'm going to be going back through my notes after I get home to meditate on what he's used our ladies to teach me this weekend. Do you see yourself as you are? Because of Christ, you are shiningly clean, you are lovingly accepted, and you are covered in his lavish grace. So what are you going to do when you go back home and shame hits? When you doubt God's provision for you and your shame? You have to learn how to live in a new world of covering and cleansing and welcoming. We have so much to pray about, so much to meditate on, so much to think about. Where do you begin? And I have one word for you. We can all remember one word. Are you ready? This is the word I want you to remember. I want you to boast. Boast. Can you say it? Boast. Okay. Now, that seems so not what a shame-filled person would do. You know, the dictionary defines boasting as talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction with one's achievements and possessions or abilities. And obviously, I'm not telling you to go back down the mountain at the end of this retreat and become a prideful, egotistical, self-centered know-it-all. Yeah, that would make small group a lot of fun. So I want you to keep listening. Let's see if we can Christianize. Let's see if we can redeem this word. Okay, ladies, we want a boasting without pride and humility without shame. We want a boasting without pride and humility without shame. Ed Welch makes the observation that shame and boasting do not go together. Shame and boasting do not go together. When we are boasting, we do not experience shame. Did you hear that? When you're boasting, you do not experience shame. So think about boasting. It struck me that one of the reasons boasting and shame don't go together is that shame is so private and so inward. And boasting is definitely outward towards others. You know, think about all the New Testament verbs that are outward towards others. We're to teach and proclaim and speak and encourage and serve and show hospitality. You know, think about the nature of boasting. It's outward. So where do you begin? What do you boast in? And I'm going to give you three quick things. Okay? Boast in your own weaknesses. Boast in your own weaknesses. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell on me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, I'm strong. What does Paul mean? I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. And he lists out what he means by weaknesses. Insults and persecutions, the time he suffered because of the gospel. With distresses and difficulties. Physical problems. What do you see as your weaknesses? You know, heart struggles. All of the ladies who shared testimony talked about this, battles with fear and anxiety and selfishness and patience and anger. You know, relationships in your life that are challenging. Financial pressures. The things in your life that if you could, you would change or rewrite or get rid of. You know, circumstances that are pressing in on you right now, and God doesn't snap his fingers and make them go away. See, hear me, ladies. Boasting in your weaknesses does not mean, well, you think you have it bad? Listen to me. Once again, that would make small groups so much fun. In my life, I have learned so much from people who boast in their weaknesses. When they describe what they struggle with and how God met them in that struggle and gave them the grace to follow him. See, the tendency when shame is in the driver's seat is to look around at others at church or others at small group or others here that you're sitting next to and start thinking, well, they have it all together. They're perfect. Doing the right thing is easy for them. And here's the truth, ladies. None of us is perfect. Okay? God doesn't help perfect people who need a little polishing, a little touch-up. You know, each one of us is deeply, deeply broken in need of the lavish grace of God. None of us has the perfect resume. When you are honest about where you struggle, it helps those around you see where you need God. Go ask God and others for help. Shame says, and you heard this all weekend long, right? Shame says, hide your weaknesses. Cover up. Self-protect. How many times did you hear that this weekend? That is the voice of shame. Ladies, ask God for help. Hebrews 4:16 says to go boldly before the throne of grace to find help and mercy in time of need. And ladies, ask others to pray for you. Open up your darkest struggles to other sisters in Christ. Okay? Light is good. We said that on Friday night. Shame festers in darkness and it dies in the light. A woman blogger I read said, she observed, the only thing worse than struggling is struggling in secrecy. Every emotion and failure becomes worse when hidden. Boast in your weaknesses. When we boast about our weaknesses and how God strengthens us in them, when we boast in where we need help, God is seen as our true hope, and his power is seen as our strength. So boast in your weaknesses. The second thing is boast in other people. Boast in other people. Now, that doesn't mean name dropping. You know, that's annoying, and that's very bragging. You know, have you ever noticed when someone doesn't want to brag and they say, you know, I don't mean to brag, but, and then they brag? Okay, I'm not talking about that. And I definitely don't mean, you know, buttering one another up with false flattery. You know, like, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. Again, small group would be so fun. Okay, boasting in other people grows out of humility. It's a way of saying, I've been so honored by God, I want to honor you. Okay, Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Think about your heart when you're full of shame. Okay, when you feel like a failure, when you feel haunted by past sins, when you feel like everybody else has it together and you're the one who's out, okay? When you dwell on how you can't do anything right, is what overflows from that heart, is it a genuine rejoicing when others are rejoicing? Not usually. I know for me, the temptation is to feel jealousy and envy when it seems like other people have good things happen, or to grumble and complain that it's not happening to you, or to secretly feel good when somebody else fails or has something to go wrong or not work out. You know, it's one of the ways that shame keeps us from true community. Okay? That's one of the ways shame keeps us from true community. Humility combined with boasting is another way we go against the gravitational force of shame. The gravitational force of shame is inward. It's isolation. It's secrecy. Okay. This weekend is about, has been about helping you move towards other people instead of away from them. Moving towards other people instead of away from them. This weekend we have looked at how God has taken the initiative in us. How he's taken the initiative with us. And all our speakers talked about that. In cleansing, in welcoming, in covering. His ways for us are up and out. God's ways for us are up and out. Throughout the Bible, we're told, don't bear false witness, don't slander, don't gossip, don't insult, don't grumble about, don't curse other people. But we don't stop there. We don't stop in just not doing wrong to somebody. You know, just be a neutral. You know? Think about the words Paul uses, outdo one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. This active, this taking the initiative, this focused effort of, I want to strive to do this, to move towards you. Here are a few ways. Ask how somebody's doing and mean it. Kelly talked about this. Ask somebody how you're doing and mean it. And when they answer you, listen. Listen when somebody shares with you. And not be thinking about, oh no, I have to have an answer for this. I have to fix this. I have to solve this. I have to, I can tell my story. I have that story. I have a better story. My story's funnier. No. Pray God's blessing for somebody and tell them. Pray God's blessing for someone and tell them. Tell somebody what you see God doing in their life. Tell somebody what you see God doing in their life. Underline the signs of grace. John Piper says, every believer has evidences of grace. God is at work in every saint. Don't dishonor the work of God by only complaining about the works of the flesh. Look for evidences. Be intentional. Be intentional of looking for the evidences of grace in people's lives. I want you to think about how you feel when someone does this for you. When someone asks how you're doing and they really listen, and when somebody tells you they're praying specifically for you. I can tell you how I feel, and it's the exact opposite of shame. I feel known. I feel loved, and I feel like I belong. Ladies, you can't do this with everybody here or everybody at North Wake or with everybody you know, but there are people in your life right now that you can boast in. Who has God placed in your life right now? Open your eyes. Boasting in other people are ways that you move towards them in love and away from the isolation of shame. Boast in your own weaknesses. Boast in other people. And most importantly, boast in God. When we're living in shame, we avoid God. And boasting in God orients you away from yourself to the true source of your only good. You know, when we feel shame, our initial response is to hide. But boasting in God calls us out of ourselves and looks up to God. Ladies, your feelings of unworthiness are swallowed up when you're proclaiming His worthiness. When we're boasting in God, we're turned towards God. When we're speaking in His presence, when we're declaring His praise, boasting in God is worship. Psalm 104 tells us, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Ed Welch puts it this way, look where you are. Think about it right now. Look where you are. You're in the presence of the King and you're not dead, which means He has sanctified you. He has made you holy. You are no longer alone. You are reciting the nature of reality itself. Your King and Father is greater than anyone or anything. C.S. Lewis made the observation that praise seems to be inner health made audible. The inner health, your inner health, what's going on in your heart and mind, made audible. There's a rightness to your inner life when you praise God. There's a sanity to your thinking when you are praising Him. Shame curled up inside, darkness, that's not right. But there is a sanity that happens to you when you are praising Him. There is an acknowledgement you live before the face of God. Your life is known by Him, and you are loved by Him. Before there were satellites and radars and GPS and ship captains, when they were crossing over the oceans, the only way they could figure out where they were and where they were going and what direction was the sun and a compass. And I want the sun was not affected by the ship's captains. Okay, the sun was the sun was the sun, whether or not the ship captain was trying to navigate by it. Okay, it was the captains of the ships that got oriented. When you praise God, He's God. Your praise doesn't make Him God. Your praise orients you. Your praise orients you. Shame turns you inward. Praise orients you outward. Shame turns you inward. Praise orients you outward. Praise God. Don't wait to worship on Sunday mornings. Praise Him daily. Think about the time sometimes when you pray, you know, sometimes we get so anxious about something or fearful or upset or we're in the middle of something and we just kind of, you know, thank you, God, I can come to you, but boom, I don't know what, you know. And we have prayer times like that. But practice praising God. Take time here. Before you rush into what's going on with you, orient yourself. Praise Him. When Sam and I were Episcopalians over 20 years ago, I loved the Book of Common Prayer. And before communion, there was an exchange that went like this. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Ladies, how do you turn from shame? boast in your weaknesses, boast in other people, and boast in God. Let us pray. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord! All who delight in him ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty, and his righteousness never fails. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. Oh, how gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. All that he does is just and good. And all of his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Praise him forever. Praise him forever. And all God's women said, Amen.